Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages. I am your host with the most. I am the FRL icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, here from the public library, ladies and gentlemen. What, yet again, it is Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, just right after Christmas. I hope you guys, first of all, had a fantastic holiday. That is the first and foremost. I hope you guys enjoyed whatever it was that you celebrated, whether it be Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Boxing Day, or whatever the case may be. I hope you guys had a joyous holiday. I hope you guys, found joy and happiness and the true meaning of whatever it is that you celebrate. And I think those things are important. So hope you guys enjoyed it. I know we did. We got a bit of a day today. It's going to be a little bit of a mix of everything today. It's not a very long episode today because this week we're going to have a few epic shows coming up, which we're going to be talking about. We're going to be giving you a little bit of preview with things to come with the next couple, not long from now. In fact, in just 24 hours from now, we're going to have a very special guest with us in the morning. And also we're going to have the watch-along event that we talked about also. Starting tomorrow morning, we have our friend from the United Kingdom, one of the newest members of the F4L officially, and also returning to the F4L icons on YouTube, the UK, one of the toughest young men alive, and also one of the coolest young men, with a heart of gold. We are lucky enough to welcome our friend from the United Kingdom, number one, Noah, the Nightmare Time Dolls, to our podcast tomorrow. So that should be a lot of fun. And also we are fortunate, we welcome him tomorrow. We're going to talk with him about, his journey in MMA and his rise in there, what he's learned and so forth, and all the various causes he's affiliated with, because young man has a lot of different things that he fights for. And he's a tremendous young man with a very nice heart on his hold. Also he plays some football and stuff like that. Football, by the way, for our American audience, is soccer for us. And I did play some soccer, so I know that as well as I did MMA. So, anywho, we're going to welcome Noah tomorrow morning. And then on Thursday, we have a variety of people calling in from all over the place, as it is our wrap-up for our 2022 season of the Icons of the F4L. We're going to have a variety of people calling in, and I'm very excited because my son, Sean Awesome, will be joining me in here, and this will be his, we haven't had him on here in a bit, and he's going to be joining me as we're going to be announcing the 2023 class of our Jazz and Sons Hall of Fame. And it's a tremendous Hall of Fame class, people who have helped pave the way for the rest of everybody else. So should be kind of cool to see how they, how everyone likes that. And we're going to be doing that while everyone's calling in, so everyone can give their own thoughts on the class of 2023 and congratulate them. Wherever they may be. And then a variety of other things we do have planned. Again, we're going to be watching some of the best matches from our Icons of the F4L show on YouTube. So it should be a lot of fun. And we're going to have a variety of people calling in from all over the place, like I said. That's at noon on Thursday for our watch-along event that I will let people know where they can go and find the playlist on YouTube to watch some of the best matches of 2022. And we'll have to wait on Thursday to find out who exactly everyone confirmed. I can tell you confirmed already. We know that one half of the women's tag team champions, JC, is going to be calling in representing the Squared Circle Cafe. We also have Noah the Nightmare Tyndall, who returned at the end of the year. And he already has made a pretty big impact already. So we're going to be having him come back within 24 hours, coming back to the headquarters again. And I believe we have other than my son, Sean Awesome. We know Philip Awesome of the Blood Brothers will be joining us as well. And possibly Jaden Brooks, the current United States champion. And whoever else shows up, we'll welcome them as well. Should be a lot of fun. That's on Thursday. And again, Noah will be on here tomorrow morning. Mary Oldit from all the United Kingdom. So that should be a lot of fun. Some cool shows coming up. And, have to wait and find out who exactly shows up on Thursday on the group thing. It's going to have several people coming in. So it's going to be a lot of fun, as I mentioned. So it should be cool. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's been an incredible year at the Icons of the F4L. There's been a lot of incredible matches, I know, because I've called most of them, almost all of them. The 2023, we saw a lot of, cool people who have took part. I mean, I was lucky enough to call some action with some great co-hosts this year. Maybe next year I'll be doing it again with some people. Maybe this year, in 2023, maybe I find a permanent person to do the shows with me and we, take over the YouTube world of wrestling. But in the meantime, in case you're wondering, why haven't I done a podcast in the few? Well, reason being is last week my voice was a little bit shoddy last week, if I'm being honest. Didn't want to risk losing my voice and wanted to prolong my voice, so because I knew this week was going to be very important. So here I am, here you are, and here we are. All right, so let's chat about, let's see. So I already talked about the highlights and who's coming in tomorrow. Tomorrow, again, Noah will be coming on again here tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So on the west, on the East Coast, on the mid of the country, that's going to be an hour behind us. So you're going to be 6 o'clock a.m. for you guys. And of course, Noah for him, it's like noontime over there. So it's a time difference. So it's going to be interesting. So cool stuff. And that's tomorrow morning again. And then on Thursday, that is going to be at noontime our time, and Noah's nice enough to come in on calling in at 5 o'clock their time, and it's noontime my time, and then central time is middle of that, so an hour before at 11 o'clock a.m. for you guys. So there you go. That's all that's going on. That's on Thursday. Noah's tomorrow, which is Wednesday the 28th. The watch-along event's the 29th. And that should be a lot of fun. And also, we have very excited because on the 4th of January, lucky we're going to be having our first writer on the show, other than myself, as we're going to be joined by author Richard M. Bourne, who writes the Hellman Elementary book series. He's a tremendous author. He has a lot of great messages and he's a children's author, so he does pretty good stuff with the, he has like a supernatural kind of element to his realm, if Stephen King wrote for kids, that's basically Richard Bourne. He's pretty good. We're going to be having him on the 4th of January at 4 p.m., so can't miss that. Also, that should be a lot of fun. So there's that going on there. So let's talk about the holidays a little bit because, some brighten up some things. So how is everyone else's holiday? What is your traditions in your holidays? What's interesting is my wife and I come from two different backgrounds and two different families, obviously. And her traditions and my traditions may be different, or some things are very much the same. One of the things we do have in common is when it comes to, outside, like our blood relatives, maybe they don't have the same passion for it as we do. One thing we do agree upon is we like to make it special for our kids, and it usually is, and it always is. It's always fun. Some of the traditions we celebrate in our house is we watch the Christmas Story for 24 hours on television, or now we have streaming services, which it does it on its own. I think that's a lot of people's traditions. They watch the Christmas Story on Christmas Eve, and that goes into Christmas Day. That's 24 hours of the Christmas Story. And that I have actually done since I was a lot younger. So that's a tradition that has really carried over. And I know a lot of people think, like, how can you play the same movie for 24 hours? It's, you know, I don't explain it. I can't, you know, it's just one of those things. It's kind of funny because what I always found is if you go to bed at a certain point, because eventually you have to sleep, right? After Santa Claus helps put out, you know, after Santa Claus comes and visits and we get to say hi or whatever, after that, after Santa leaves, then we're stuck, you know, having to, go to bed early so we can get up, so the kids get up, because I don't know about anybody else, but if you have kids and it's Christmas, you're getting up early, regardless if you want to or not. You're getting up early, regardless. I think one of the earliest times we remember is 3 a.m., which, you know, kids get excited at Christmas. They, you know, they get the magic and the hope of, you know, finding out what Santa has brought, what trinkets and gadgets and gizmos and whatnot. It's amazing how Santa knows everything about what our kids like and stuff. So kind of cool. But other traditions we have other than the Christmas Story is we have other movies we watch too, customary. My wife has her sets of movies that she watches, and I have my sets. My wife watches The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is either it could be a Christmas movie, but it's also a Halloween movie. So it's a tradition there, as well as The Muppets Christmas Carol is another one of the family's favorites, which is also one of mine. I actually have a soft spot for the Muppets. We don't talk a lot about the Muppets on the show, but the Muppets are cool. And I posted a thing the other day of who everyone's favorite Muppet was. And for me, I've always found Rizzo the Rat to be the most comical and most original character out of the whole group of them. He's sarcastic, he's witty, he's fast. He's always got the one-liners, and, you know, in all honesty, a lot of people might not understand it, but Rizzo actually has the best intentions for his family, because everything that Rizzo tries to do is trying to incorporate his family and how his family can, you know, benefit from something that he has going on. So that's kind of cool. I like Rizzo. Rizzo's funny. And of course, he is in the Muppets Christmas Carol. He plays Gonzo's sidekick as he helps Gonzo, who tried to pretend to be Charles Dickens. And again, classic Rizzo is to say whatever the audience is thinking, because, you know, Rizzo's witty like that. But, I'm a big fan of Rizzo. I like Rizzo in the movie. And Michael Caine, of course, does a fantastic job in that movie. And I think it's a little bit out of his element, too. When you think of Michael Caine, I don't think the first movie you think of right off the top of your head is probably not, you know, The Muppets Christmas Carol. But it's interesting how, for us adults, you know, we can say, well, Michael Caine's been a phenomenal actor. He was in, you know, insert your favorite movie here. I mean, he won the Oscar for Side of House Rules for his co-star in Side of House Rules. He won the Oscar for that back when that was up there. So, I mean, he's an Oscar winner, Michael Caine, and he's a tremendous actor. He brings a certain element in, to his project and stuff. So Michael Caine's huge. And here he is amongst all these Muppets that people grew up with, Kermit and Miss Piggy and, of course, Rizzo and everybody else. So it's a cute one. It's a cute family movie. And I have a question for people. One of my favorite movies growing up, as far as the holiday movies go, is Mickey's Christmas Carol. of course, it's a Disney movie, and I know people are about to laugh at me or whatever, but whatever. So Mickey's Christmas Carol is a movie I grew up with, and isn't it interesting how when we're younger, we don't really realize how short of a movie it actually is. You know, when we think of a movie, nowadays a movie on average is anywhere between an hour and a half to 3 hours, or 2.5 hours on average. The average Disney movie these days is about a 2 hour, about an average is about 2 hours. Well, as iconic as Mickey's Christmas Carol is, it's actually only 26 minutes long. And I always find it like amusing that when I specifically remember growing up that I would watch, we had the VHS copy of it. Remember VHS people? Those are the days. But with the VHS copy, I mean, it seemed like it was so much longer when you're younger. You know, you're enthralled in it. It was lovable. It was funny. It had Goofy and Mickey and all that. But, and of course, Uncle Scrooge, he's the best. He plays Ebenezer Scrooge, of course. And, of course, he would get his own spinoff as, you know, Uncle Scrooge and was Scrooge McDuck with the DuckTales series. So, quickly, you know, he impressed enough to stick around. But 26 minutes is the average runtime for Mickey's Christmas Carol. It's amazing. And I don't know about everybody else, but in our house, we all kind of have our own favorite, the claymation versions of movies, too, of course. My wife really enjoys Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer, which it has its moments. It's kind of cool, I guess, sometimes. But I, myself and my daughter really like A Year Without a Santa Claus. The whole family watches all of these as a whole. These are traditions. You know, back in the day, you used to watch, you know, on TV, back when they had network television before the days of streaming or whatever, they would have these, what they called, Sunday night movies or special presentations, and they'd have these movies on television. And people would all clamor around, families would clamor around the television to watch Rudolph and Rudolph's Shiny New Year, A Year Without a Santa Claus, and all the other, we called them claymation movies. They were stop motion, a lot more infrequent than just simple claymation. But A Year Without a Santa Claus is one of my favorites. It kind of tugs at the heartstrings, and it's kind of funny, too. You know, I don't know any of those. Anybody who's ever seen those movies probably knows every single word like we do, as we usually sing almost every single song that we know. So, yeah, it's always what it is. So other traditions we have in our family are, you know, the kids like to bake, like to decorate the cookies on Christmas Eve. So, they have freshly baked cookies. My wife will bake the cookies and my kids will decorate them. That's a cool tradition we have. A tradition I have that my family are not really into is I enjoy eggnog. And my daughter also likes eggnog, but my son and my wife absolutely despise eggnog. So we're kind of split in half on the eggnog thing. I've actually always enjoyed eggnog. I don't know how people can't like eggnog. But again, to each their own. Maybe it's just the idea. Perhaps they can't get past that. To me, I don't understand how people can like sweets and not like eggnog. So it's just me, though. But, you know, holidays are a fun time. They're, full of joy and wonder. And to me personally, I don't think there's anything I enjoy more than watching the looks on, you know, my wife and my kids' faces when I get them that perfect gift, or when they open that special gift from Santa, because Santa's always, he's a smart dude, that guy, whatnot. But, what are all everyone else's family traditions? What do you guys do in your families? We can't be the only ones who do the only things. Of course, you know, no family thing with us is complete without having a game. This year, I was very happy. I had gotten the Roof Tracks video game, so it's like a interactive game you can do with the on the TV or the game. And Riff Tracks, of course, is, you know, the guys from Mystery Science Theater, where they do like the little talking about and make fun of the movie, like these really bad, cheesy movies. Riff Tracks basically makes jokes out of those and whatever. They made a video game version of that, and we played that on Christmas Day, and then again yesterday at my wife's friend's house. Because, again, sometimes, you know, a lot of people seem to think that they need to celebrate, you know, Christmas on Christmas, but you might have a family that maybe, you know, mom, dad, or whoever has to work on, you know, Christmas Day or the holiday day. And, you know, it's always good to find another day you can celebrate then. There's nothing that's nothing written stone that you have to have it on that day. It's just some, a lot of people feel that it has to be done on December 25th. But, you know, so we celebrated at our house. The kids came over on Christmas Day, and we spent the day, and it was a lot of fun, you know, catching up and watching everyone do the things. Again, they baked the cookies, and we watched the movies. Christmas Story, I think we watched about 7 times over and over again. We introduced them to the new Christmas Story, which is called the Christmas Story Christmas, which sees all of the adult act. I did a review on that. On this podcast not long ago, actually. So the kids got to see that for the first time because they hadn't had a chance to watch it yet. And we also watched. Oh, of course, you know, the Muppets Christmas Carol. We had to watch that too. Again, traditions. And then, you know, we played the game, and that took a lot of time. That was a lot of fun, though. Of course, we ate the food. My wife is huge into cooking and food and whatnot. So, you know, that was a lot of fun. And, so everyone had a good time. Everyone, you know, was happy with what everyone got. And, it's quaint and small. And, you know, sometimes it's this quiet, small little moments that make up, for the most part, what holidays are about. It's always about, you know, seeing the joy and bringing the love and whatever to everyone together. And, I'm going to do some research because I'm curious what Boxing Day is. I'm familiar with, you know, Hanukkah. I know I have friends of mine who are Jewish and they celebrate Hanukkah, and I have a basic understanding of that. But I don't really know much about Boxing Day. I know about Kwanzaa for that matter, too. But Boxing Day I'm not familiar with. So I'm going to do a little research on that, and maybe before New Year's Eve, I'll give you guys a lesson on Boxing Day, what I find out, because I'm a little curious myself. And even at my age, you never stop learning, and there's nothing wrong with that. So it's always good to learn about other cultures, and I think it's important to respect everyone's cultures and respect everyone's individual, how they choose to celebrate. Whether someone celebrates Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, you know, Boxing Day, or just calls it a weekend. There's no harm, no foul. Just let them enjoy their time their way. And that's the FRL way. So, now, let's see, Chris, also, you know, as far as what I got, my wife got me this brand new computer, which I'm doing this podcast with for the first time. So hopefully it comes out well. I needed a new software. My other one was a little outdated, so now I could do more writing and more working. The podcast will be even more fluid. This is my first time using this for the podcast. As I mentioned, I'm at my home away from home, which is the public library. And as far as weather goes, it is pretty cold. I think a lot of people, I've been hearing a lot of people talking about how cold it is in their regions and stuff, and I have to be the bearer of bad news and just remind them that we are in winter here in the States, and winter is generally colder than all the other months. So I'm sorry if I'm not surprised that it's cold in winter. But in all honesty, I actually enjoy the cold. I'm not overly fond of heat. I don't like the summer because it's so hot. I like the activities you can do in the summer. Like, I like the fact you can go to the beach and do all the things during the summer, but theoretically, there's also nothing stopping you from going into the ocean or going swimming in, you know, January or December either. A lot of people, you know, look at people like that and with the side eye, you know. Where I'm from, up in New England, we have, you know, in my when I used to grow up with my aunt, Ellen, my aunt Peggy, where I spend weekends, we lived in Southie. And in Southie, they had the L Street Brownies who would go down every December, and they would go jump in the ocean for various causes and stuff. And actually, they swam anyway, regardless. They didn't need a necessarily cause. But what they would do is they would raise an event, and they'd welcome other people to come jump in the ocean with them. And a lot of people just stand there in awe and just like, how can you jump into the freezing cold ocean? But I'm going to tell you guys, it's actually really good for you. Cold water, ice baths, and that stuff, that's actually really good for your system. And you'd be surprised, actually, how many health things are associated with helping and improving with that. So, you know, don't knock it till you try it. As long as you do it in a safe manner, you should be fine. So that's the deal on that end. But, yeah, it's been cold weather-wise. I actually like the cold, so I wore a sweatshirt because my wife does not like the cold, and our house is a sauna. So I much prefer going out and going for my walk and getting my cold air for a little while and hear them in the library. And it's not that cold, not too hot, right where it should be and whatnot. So Icons of the F4L will be back in 2023, as you guys know. And, you know, going into 2023, I had mentioned some of the people you could be excited for. You know, to get to know on our new YouTube show. Every year we like to, you know, bring in new people and welcome other people back and whatnot. And we already know, you know, Noah's going to be back. But also in addition to that, these are people who have already been built and who are ready to go and people who you will be able to see very shortly, if not I've already seen. We have newcomer Easton McDonald. He's a wrestler and a super athlete, really, though. This is a sport the young man hasn't done and has also not won some type of trophy or ribbon in. So Easton McDonald will be joining. Easton's going to be joining the roster, and I haven't figured out which week, which night he's going to be going for, but the young man's a tremendous athlete, and he's going to add to the energy level as well as he's a young man who's rising up, and I think he should deserves to be on the roster. Pedro Frentes from Brazil, our Brazilian jiu-jitsu friend, he is ready to make his debut. He's going to be challenging for the MMA Grand Prix Championship down the road. And another couple people, speaking of that, you can look forward to seeing is from Russia, Sergey Yukolov. And Ronan Swanson will be returning to the roster as well in full time in 2023. As far as teams go, we have the OK Thank You guys, Mike and Tristan, coming back for OK Thank You. They had a big, you know, year a couple years ago, and they kind of retired some pretty big groups, in fact, including they kind of gave, you know, the Hall of Famers the Hard Connection their first loss. But also the other Hall of Fame, this year's Hall of Famers, which we'll talk about later, not today, but on, you know, later this week. But, you know, they've retired several people, and they were kind of the team to beat the OK Thank You for a little while. We didn't get to see them a lot in 2023, but they are returning in 2022, we didn't get to see them a lot. But you will see them in 2023, and we look forward to seeing what they bring to the table. Also, the F4L as a faction will be back, the group, the family, and, you know, never say never as far as who may be joining part of the F4L. The bullies are always going to be a part of the equation because you need the good to go with the bad, I guess. Or you need the bad to go with the good necessarily, so, you know, and the F4L will always fight against bullying. So there you go, and we look forward to introducing you to those guys. And some of them you definitely know. You may have actually even forgotten that we have certain people. You haven't seen them in a while. So just remember, just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. Also, Katie Smooth returns to the icons this year as well. Katie Smooth is a cousin, and he's returning to action. A couple of years ago, we had him as a special guest as he called his first match in the Random Melee Palooza 2000, a couple of years ago. Did not win, by the way, but he was part of that. It was quite amusing. And Katie Smooth's returning, and of course his faction, his newest faction, the Smooth Operators, will be there. And I do know already that he has LeBron James and Eminem in that little group of his. So he's going to be given a run for the money of everyone else out there. So interesting stuff there. We'll have to wait and see. So now I guess we got to... Yeah, I don't want to go too deep into the whole thing here, but I do think it's important to touch on this because it's a realistic topic. And we like to keep the show light as possible, and I do understand that. And you have to understand, though, sometimes there are parts of life that I needed to address, and I think that there needs to be someone that can talk and be the kind of the voice to kind of, you know, explain a little bit or to... just say what maybe someone's thinking or whatnot. And, you know, first and foremost, so I found out last week that a relative of mine passed away last week. And just before Christmas, I found out last night, which, you know, it was a relative I obviously knew. I grew up with her and stuff like that, and I didn't really have any bad feelings for her or anything like that. It's just sometimes as you get older, you see less and less of people. People get involved with their own lives, and people kind of get on with things. And then sometimes what happens is, you know, you just grow apart, you move apart, and you don't see each other a lot. So a little bit of a thing about my family. So my mother, obviously we've talked about my mother before. My mother had married a guy back when I was very young. I was like two, I think. And she had my three siblings with him. His name was Ed, and I have three other siblings, Eddie and Scott, my two brothers. And I have a sister named Siobhan. And if I'm being honest, I don't really have much to do with my sister. In all honesty, if I'm being also honest and being, full disclosure, I'm not, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, as brothers in our family, you kind of do your own thing, and which I think is kind of common for a lot of families where everyone kind of gets caught up in their own families and their own lives. And sometimes the only time you see each other is maybe once or twice a year, or sometimes, unfortunately, when, you know, things like wakes and funerals happen or weddings. Our family is no different than that. I've talked before on the show about how I'm not overly close with my blood family. And my stepbrothers my half-brothers are half-brothers. They were, you know, my mother is the bridge between the two. Between all of them. So, but my stepfather had a sister, and he had a mother, obviously, and a father. And his my stepfather's parents, they had a oil business with an oil delivery service, I should say, where they delivered oil to people. And that's a pretty big deal in New England where, you know, cold or whatever. So they did that and, you know, all those kinds of things. In all honesty, I've said before, I grew up with no dad, and I had a stepfather, but he was always busy working, and I narrowly really got to see him a lot because he was working or working on something. However, his sister, my Aunt Luann, and my step-grandmother, I got to see a lot. They were always part of the equation somewheres. And, my stepfather always was the oldest, and my Aunt Luann was the younger. My Aunt Luann, you know, took the route where I was, and she did. She went into human services. She went to medical. She got a degree from Suffolk University, which is a pretty decent, which is a really good school. She, you know, went to work in the mental health world, became an administration. You know, she had some pretty big deal. She had some really good job. I remember, though, you know, Outland, unfortunately, we lost on Thursday last week. So first and foremost, I don't even know if my brothers or anybody listens from the family, but my condolences to them. I know it's rough. It's going to be harder on my brother Scott and my brother Eddie because they were so closer. They were closer to her, and they saw her a lot more recent than I had. Unfortunately, I don't want to go into details because I'm not 100% sure of all of them. From what I understand, it was due to illness, and there was a kind of a treatment that was done. It maybe didn't go as was planned, and unfortunately, Luann lost her battle with whatever it was just before Christmas. And she has three kids who are a little older now. Currently, one of her daughter works in the hospital where she did. And then she has another daughter who's going to cosmetology, hair and makeup and things like that. And, of course, she has a son who is in the carpentry union with my brother Scott, Scott's the fix-it guy, and so is Eddie. Eddie likes to do a lot of that stuff, too. And as I mentioned before, Eddie's also kind of like the mechanic guy. Scott likes to tinker with those things, too. But Scott's more like the install kind of a guy. Like, if you want a sound system, you go to Scott for that. But if you want to fix your motor or replace the floor in your Jeep, you go to Eddie for that, because that's kind of what I had to do. It's funny because, you know, you have family and you only see them certain times, right? And I don't, on this, you know, we all have our own lives and stuff like that, obviously. You know, everyone lives all over the place. So, you know, you do lose time to whatever. And I know back in the day, you know, a long time ago before we all had our own families, you know, I try to, you know, take it upon myself, at least in the summertime, because my brother's birthdays are a month apart. So my brother's, Eddie's birthday is in July. Scott's is in August. So normally what would happen is in the summer I would, you know, get tickets to go to a concert or something. And the reason being is this. You only have so much time in the world with people. And if you get people trinkets for their birthday, gadgets and whatever, it's cool. The idea is there, right? But, you know, people move and people do all kinds of things. And those things can get damaged, lost, broken, whatever. But I always found that going to an event or having some type of memory attached to something you're doing, that is more meaningful to me. Because I can tell you that, you know, a lot of my, you know, favorite moments I can remember by going to a show. Eddie Scott, and, you know, actually one of the, fun fact, one of the last times obviously I saw it before then too, but one of the concerts that I brought my brothers to, and it was a Def Leppard show. Def Leppard and Bryan Adams, as random as that is. And this was, of course, the first time I'd see Def Leppard in person, by the way. So this is actually what started me off in seeing Def Leppard. So it was Bryan Adams and Def Leppard, which, again, is the most bizarre mix I've ever heard in my life for a concert lineup. It was a good show. It was just, you know, Bryan Adams and Def Leppard. Anyway, so it was fun. And Aunt Luann we took Aunt Luann with us. Now, her name was Lucille, named after her mother, but we called her Luann growing up. And again, she was what most people call a hot ticket. She liked to have fun. She had a very infectious laugh. She had a very, you know, quick sense of humor. Very, very finger on the pop culture, you know, thing. She knew a lot of that stuff. She liked to have a lot of fun. She was kind of the fun kind of individual. Went down to Florida the one time I talked about before, and that was the night I had a fight with my brother, Eddie, at that time, because we were the two oldest. So the way our family works is I am the oldest of everybody, And then my brother Eddie is right after me, like two or three years younger than me. And then Scott is the youngest of the four of us. So there's a that trajectory. But they're months, they're years apart, and they're only like literally a couple of years older. Because the way that my brothers and sister works is they're literally a year apart and a month apart, oddly enough. So my sister's birthday is in June, Eddie's is in July, and Scott's is in August. And they're also, if you remember how old one is, you can kind of figure out how old the rest of them are by process of elimination. Because unfortunately, I'm not good with the numbers as much as I used to be. But Aunt Luann, we went to see her Def Leppard for the first time, and Bryan Adams, and that was quite the fun time. It was a good time we shared, and that's a memory that will last, you know. And I think it was funny that my brothers always claimed they didn't know who these people were we were going to see. You know, we grew up in the same era, same listening to the same music, really. Scott, I think, is in more into the country music now, and Eddie is into more of the rap stuff. But they all kind of know a lot of that music, you know. But it was amusing. And Aunt Luann was fun. It was good to have her there. And that was her first time really getting to spend time with her as an adult. Growing up and, you know, spending time with that, you know, as a family. It was great to have, you know, that moment, you know. So that was kind of cool. But, I also, another fond memory, in Disney, my brother and I, as I was mentioning. So my brother Eddie and I got into a fight. I don't remember what it was. Let's face it, families and brothers, we fight all the time, so. Whatever the flight was, it was down in Florida. The one time I was in Florida, and when I could go as a vacation anyway. And my Aunt Luann and my step grandmother are the ones. My grandmother, we called Nana, went to Florida, where everyone else was up here. And this is the year we lost our house and stuff like that, and the house fire as I talked about before. And you know, we were down in Florida for, I think it was a week or so. We were down there in Orlando. And we went to Disney World a bunch. So Aunt Luann and I went to Disney World the day of the fight. And my grandmother, who we called Nana, took my brother Eddie to she took him to separate us for a little while. And I remember that was my first time getting to do the things I couldn't do because Eddie was normally with us. So we got to go on Space Mountain and the Pirates of the Caribbean, all those fun things, you know. You know, it's funny, you have those memories. And what's also important, I think what helps me deal with loss, and that's kind of what the topic is in the long run, is how do you deal with loss around the holidays and around various different things. And I think for me, it makes it easier to know that, you know, you keep the memories alive and you keep, you know, spreading their, you know, keep different stories you have attached to those people. Of course, you can, you know, choose to keep all the negative ones there too. But in the long run, it's not worth it in the end because you only have so much time in the world and so much time, on the planet, really. And if you spend your time feeling gripe, being angry and being bitter and being, you know, whatever, it's really what my grandmother would call small potatoes. It's important to take those moments with the people we care about, to reach out once in a while, say hello and whatever, and to have a sense of closure and stuff like that. I think it's important to do that. So, again, I found out last night, which is, unfortunately, it was my brother Eddie who told me, and I know that Eddie and her and Scott was very close with Aunt Luann. He lived closer to them. He was, you know, not too far away from them, and I want to let people know that I guess apparently with Eddie, everyone's doing okay, and Scott handled everything really well. Scott is very much efficient, and he'll get it done. He's a very, A, B, and C needs to be done. A, B, and C is done. This is something Aunt Luann had planned on. She knew it was going to happen. I don't think she knew it was going to happen so quick or so soon. So, there was obviously things in place. But, it's just important sometimes to remember that, when you're dealing with loss, especially around the holidays, and it's important to also acknowledge the fact that it's easier for me to say, that's unfortunate and offer my condolences. For people who are closer to the people, it's a different story. And, every year I have, I say goodbye to more people, that a lot of people have. I often kind of wonder, how many people, what age do you start really learning the process of grieving or honoring things, going to services and so forth? That's a question for everyone out there. Because, and then how do we talk to our kids about, the unknown when those time comes? Because ultimately, and the sad part is, it is part of life. It's a stinky part of life, and it's never something we enjoy. It always upsets me when I find out someone, hurts themselves, because I always feel like no matter how bad of a situation is, there is a fix for that, and that's not the fix for it. I often feel, I've talked before, whenever I hear about someone who either hurt themselves or took their lives because of bullying, regardless if I've met them or not, I find that I take that to heart, because if I had known, or if they reached out to me, that wouldn't have been a thing. I could have possibly done something. I could have said something. But I think this is one of the stages, right, of grief, right? There are stages of grief, and there are stages of various things. I talked about when my mother died. My mother died, it'll be 13 years this year coming up. And this year we're celebrating my mother in a different way. This year we're going to be doing Jazz and Friends Expo for the first time. And on her anniversary, we're going to be doing the celebrity basketball game, which I haven't talked a lot about on the show yet. But, I'm going to be doing a whole show where I'll be going into detail a lot of these things. But I think it's important to tribute and to pay homage to the people who kind of got us to where we need to be. And, my mother, we lost my mother as her, in a hit and run. And it wasn't something that was a lot of fun. And it wasn't something I hope no one enjoys. But my mother was also someone who was stubborn and also, was in poor health or whatever. So I'm wondering, there are different ways to look at various different things. I come from the pro wrestling and entertainment world. Unfortunately, that business is saturated with pain, sorrow, and tragedy. There's very different ways and different reasons. I honestly, I'm not overly, like I said, I feel horribly when people take their own lives. I think that's horrible. And I often, encourage people, if you are struggling and you are having, these issues and you're feeling that way, I do urge you to look out for help. I'm guaranteeing you there's somebody who will listen to you. There are hotlines everywhere, and there are, your own personal people. Don't struggle alone, because you're not. This year, in the last not too long, I've more and more people are, taking their own lives. And that's not what happened here, by the way, with my aunt. She lost a battle with illness, but I'm just, in general, loss is a loss, regardless how they, leave the world. But my honestly feeling is that if you keep the people alive in your memory you keep them, you keep talking about them, and you keep honoring them, their memories live throughout you, and they keep continue to thrive within you. You know, with my mother and things like that, and everyone else, I've been to more wakes and funerals than I've been to weddings, if I'm being honest. And it's not just family. It's family, friends, and everything else for a variety of different issues. A lot of the times, I'm the one that becomes the go-to person to speak, because that's kind of what I do. My family knows that I'm the speaker, and they know that I do a lot of talking and things like that. I do a lot of, whenever there's a tragedy at the school or there's an issue going on in the world, I'm usually the one that the schools will reach out to go talk and address the students to make sure they're okay, because that's something that I have a lot of experience with. I've dealt with a lot of those things over the years. I've had to say goodbye to a lot of people in my lifetime, and sometimes I'm not there to say goodbye to them, sometimes I am. But I think it's important to take those moments, regardless if you're there or not, to have your own closure in your own way. And, So, Lynn, unfortunately, we lost last week. And again, if her family's listening, my condolences to you guys. She has kids, and they're older, as I mentioned. She's got a daughter who works in the hospital, and all doing things. They're into the pop culture thing. So, you know, it's interesting that her kids and, you know, my kids would have got along really well if they lived in the same area, because my kids are huge into anime and they're huge into anime. So they would have loved, had a field day. But regardless, you know, condolences to, you know, my Aunt Luann's kids and my brother Scott and my brother Eddie. See, I'm in a situation here where now I'm caught in a rock and a hard place, because if I'm being honest, I do feel empathy and I feel bad for those, for that. And I am probably going to go, you know, offer my condolences or whatever. But part of me also is I'm going to be around a lot of people who I know I don't generally get along with, or I don't generally feel a lot for. But here's what I'm going to tell people. Sometimes in life, when it comes to that moment, there's a time and a place to, you know, have gripes, and there's a time and a place to simply move on. And that's important, to know when to move on. I think it's important to realize that a wake, a funeral, a wedding, these are things you should never have, you should never go into with aggression and fuss and hostility. Because life is too short. Ultimately, is the end of that. Hold on one second here. Here we go. Life is too short to sweat small potatoes, as my grandmother said, but also on the flip side of that, it's not your time to hold gripes and pick fights and argue at a wake, funeral, and a wedding, because that's not about you. That's for the person you're honoring and the people who you are trying to console. And when these events happen, we lose someone who, regardless if we're close to them or not, the reason why we pay our tributes or pay our respects, as we call it, is because they meant something to somebody. And even if we don't necessarily get along with that particular person or the people, this is one of those things. Yeah, with family is different than a lot of other things. I might not have always seen eye to eye with everybody in my family. I might not have seen eye to eye with my Aunt Luann on occasion. But I still had respect for her. I still thought that in the long run, I thought she meant well. I respected the fact that she worked in the mental health world. I respected the fact that she went into the health field. I respected the fact that she did a lot of important things, and she was also someone who enjoyed life. She had fun. She went and did the roller coaster. She went and did the fun things. She wasn't afraid to have a good time. She went camping. She was up for adventure. And she did. She was a great mom. I'll give her that. She was a great mom. She raised her kids well and pretty much by herself. And again, you know, some things you can't control, and some things you can't take out of the elements. And sometimes you have to, any kind of negative feelings or sad feelings or angry feelings, those go on the back burner because, you know, my brothers or whoever, they need that. They need your strength at that point. Way back a few years ago, there was a time when it seemed like I went to a wake or a funeral. It seemed like almost a month straight. This is not an exaggeration. So one of my uncles died, and then another uncle died almost a week later than that. Various different reasons. And then my step-grandmother, which is this woman's mother, of course, then my mother died, of course. And after my mother died, you know, there was, you know, my aunt, I had an aunt that died, and another uncle that died after that. And then I had my step-grandmother, this woman's mother, and my stepfather, who literally died a week later. The one time I didn't go to... I didn't go to the hospital that day for my stepfather when he finally died. Do I regret it? Yes, because I should have been there for my brothers. But if I'm being honest, at that point, because I've already been, when I go to these things, I'm the rock. I don't have the emotion everybody else does because I've dealt with so many of these deaths in my life, because I've dealt with so many, you know, passings of so many people for various different reasons. I feel empathy and I feel sad for people, but I don't have that emotion where I cry or I get really emotional. Those feelings I don't have, unfortunately, anymore. But it doesn't mean that I don't, you know, try to be there for everybody else. But what happens is, because I go to so many of these things, like in that particular case, that was literally like a month or 2 months straight of people just going to wakes and funerals. And that's not counting my friends who died in between that I've had to go to wakes and funerals. So in the long run, combined, I was burnt out from going to hospitals and stuff like that, and I didn't think I would be able to be supportive, which is why I go, to be supportive. So I didn't go. My stepfather finally died, and of course I was there for everything else, the wakes, the funerals, and whatever. And so my brother Scott, who has handled everything, I'm sure he's, you know, got everything under control or whatever. And you know, I think a lot of them have a little bit of upset, probably a little annoyed with me because of that one particular time. You know, and my family might not be the closest family in the world, and we're not. And as you guys know, that my wife and my kids are my first priority, no matter what. And what I said before is accurate. My family are not, my blood are not F4L material, not a lot of them. They don't really have the ability, the things that we have. That's why I started the F4L. That's honestly true also. So I don't want to sound like I'm being hypocritical, but on the same sense, I want to be very clear that sometimes when these situations, no matter how you feel about whatever, you need to put those aside for other people. I worry... See, I had this conversation with my wife the other day. You see, there are some situations, you know, the inevitable is happening. You know something's going to come down the pike, you know loss is coming, or someone you care about or whatever. In my lifetime, you know, I knew that eventually my mother would be gone, and I knew eventually other people, you know, and whatnot. So I was prepared for that. I wasn't quite prepared for how she died, or it was so quick, but you know, but I knew eventually it was going to happen because that's just, you know, life. What do you do when, you know, you have so many others that don't, you know? But, you know, you're going to be, here's the thing about me, and I'm sure other people have been in this situation, when you go to these wakes and these, you know, these gatherings where you know people you don't particularly like are going to be there. So that's why I'm doing this right here, sharing this with you guys, because I have to be there for everybody else, and I have to have my own closure. And as much as I know there are going to be people there who probably I won't get along with or I don't like or whatever, that's not my time, and that's not my time to be, you know, mean, or, and I'm not mean in general, folks. I'm at 4L through and through. And, you know, that's kind of where me and my family are different. You see, I'm going to this thing, you know, living the F4L way. Not a lot of them have that. I wish they would, but they don't. But regardless, you know, my whole thing also is, you know, seeing people I'm not overly fond of in any of these events. And then I am very, very, very blunt and honest. And I'm very, you know, I don't, they know better not, you know, to ask me questions because I'll answer them. But, you know, I have nothing but respect for everybody. And again, I'm perplexed because if you go to awaken a funeral where you know people who are going to be there you don't particularly like, do you go? And I think the answer is yes. And the reason why you go isn't to go there. And you, if you're going to one of these things expecting to be hostile or whatever else, then you shouldn't even bother. But if you actually have some type of remorse and you're a human being who has blood in your, you know, blood and whatever, and if you're F4L, regardless how you feel about, you know, if it's someone who did something you had some respect for, regardless of whatever else, you can't hold on to that because that guilt that you feel will tear you apart. You need to take those moments to, for yourself and for them, to have that closure. So I may not have gotten to see Aunt Luann a lot lately, and in all honesty, we live in, you know, very far away from each other. My wife and I had our own struggles going on. She was, you know, dealing her own things, Aunt Luann. She was a busy person. She was always work, had a great work ethic too. Give her that too. But in the long run, when they push comes to, you know, when the, at the end of the day, it's not about how I feel about being negative. It's not about being negative. It's about paying tribute to people and being there for everybody else who may need that extra, you know, that extra joy or something, that extra, you know, I'm sorry, that might feel better. And I guess that's the thing, right? When you go to these things, you say, I'm sorry, feel lost, and whatever else. I think a lot of the times people have a hard time with these things is because to find those words, I mean, what do you say to someone who loses someone they care about? I remember when my mother died, people were saying all kinds of things. People who I haven't talked to in 10 years have, or years before that, people I didn't even know were talking to me about when my mother died. But yet, when it came time for a wake and her funeral, you know, you find out who who actually is there at the long run. But I honestly believe whoever is there is meant to be there. So, again, my condolences to her family. You know, when I get details, I'll do my best. I'll get down there, up there, I should say, to pay my tributes and my respects. And all honesty, it's probably going to be me paying my tributes, you know, saying my sorries and going, because I think it's important to know your situation and know your family and know your dynamics. I think on my end of things, I think it's important for closure, and I think it's the respectful thing to do. Offer your condolences, say you're sorry to the family, the survivors of the person who's gone, and then, you know, say your goodbyes to the person directly, you know, the way you want to there, and then have you leave. Don't stick around longer than you have to, because that's when people can be, that's when you can start playing the other games, and that's when you can start, you know, giving things. So I think it's important when you're in situations where you're dealing with loss at a wake or a funeral of someone who you get along with, where you're not particularly fond of everyone else who is there. I think it's important to focus on the important people. The important people are the survivors of the person. In this case, her kids and my brothers and their families. And then from there, you know, that's pretty much what I do. I pay a tribute to those people. I say my goodbyes to my aunt, and I pay tribute to her, and I take my leave. And that's the situation, because that's what the smarter thing to do is. And what's interesting is my wife and I had a conversation about another relative of mine, my Uncle Paul, actually, oddly enough. And if I'm being honest, Uncle Paul is someone who is very important in my life, and he's my mother's twin, and I always respected Uncle Paul. And I also, you know, there was a time I respected his wife and his whole, you know, everyone else. But unfortunately, what I've come to learn over the years is it may not have been a whole mutual thing, and I also find out people kind of change over time, don't they? And I often wonder, like, if something was to happen to my uncle, who would call me to tell me? And how would that go over? Because at Uncle Paul, something would – see, there's a difference between Uncle Paul, who is an actual Stevens, and, like, my step-aunt here, like Aunt Luann. It's a different – little bit different thing here. But what as chaotic as the Stevenses are, that's my Aunt Luann's family. They're kind of down to earth a little bit. They kind of handle things a little bit better than the Stevens family does. But my uncle's side of things, my mother's side of things, you know, there are three things I think. One, I often wonder how my Aunt Peggy feels, because my Aunt Peggy is the eldest of seven at one point, and she's still alive. Aunt Peggy, she's very much alive and doing her thing, you know, and she still thinks she's, you know, superwoman. She still thinks she can do it a lot, but, you know, she's older, obviously, but she's still alive and kicking and breathing and, you know, pretty much, for the most part, she's still around. But for her, being the eldest of seven brothers and sisters, and I wonder how it is for her that she's had to go to these wakes and funerals saying goodbye to them. And I'm wondering what it's going to be, what's going to be like when my brother's time comes or my sister's time comes. If I'm being honest, my sister, I don't get along with very well at all. And and as I mentioned on the show, I'm very, very blunt. I'm very, very honest. And if I'm being honest, I can't see me. That would probably be one of those situations where I'd go to be there for my brothers if it was my sister. I would go there for my brother's sake to make sure they were okay, because it would be just them. I'd pay my tributes and I'd leave. My Uncle Paul is someone who my wife asked me, wouldn't you go if it was Uncle Paul? And I said, well, the thing is I get along with Uncle Paul. I love Uncle Paul. He's my mother's twin, like I said. And honestly, he, you know, he's the one who introduced me to pro wrestling. He's the one who, you know, for the most part, taught me how to play basketball and the other little things. And he's honestly how he runs a household is how I envision, and eventually is how I ran my household. You know, we have our fun times, we have our family game nights and things like that, like he does. you know, I believe in inclusion. I look at things in the light way. And a lot of the ways I am like Uncle Paul. But ways I'm different is Uncle Paul, you know, has issues raising his, you know, putting down his feet when he has to. I have no issue calling people out on nonsense, which is why in that situation, going to, you know, something like that, and I know the whole situation, for one thing, I don't necessarily think I would be invited to my Uncle Wake. I don't think I'd be told that Uncle Paul was something that happened, unfortunately. And then the other thing is, I would go to the wake and the funeral. This is why I'm bringing this, you know, scenario up, because let's say, you know, something happens to Uncle Paul and I have to go to that funeral or that wake. And the majority of the family on our Steven side, I don't get along with. They know that. His wife, I'm not overly fond of. She knows that, which is why I don't think they'd let me know. And they know reasons why. And the fact that reality sets in, as I know that time's going to happen eventually. And in that case, I think it's best for me to, you know, honor him and tribute him my own way, which is what I would end up having to do. If I was invited to go, I'd go, but I don't think it would be a picnic at all. It would definitely not be a picnic. It would not be fun. It would not be a joyous. I mean, a lot of people may hear this and say, well, a wake and a funeral isn't supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, you know, whatever. But see, the thing I understand is in the Stephen side of things, it's like more like a party. It's like the old Irish tradition. We honor the dead by celebrating. We basically, it's like a makeshift party. As odd as it sounds, it's to honor the dead by, you know, telling joyful stories or anecdotes, and people party, really celebrate life, but, or the person. But that one I'm not looking forward to, if I'm being honest. And yeah, so I don't want to go too much further into the, you know, sadness and stuff like that, since, you know, we started off this show with pretty good mood and stuff like that, and I don't want to leave you guys in a crying state. Again, my condolences. Lastly, I want condolences to Aunt Luann's family and, you know, whatever, and Godspeed. You know, I'll try to be there to honor her and say my goodbyes or whatever. And, you know, in general, you know, we'll touch on that subject some other point. It's not the time right now. But anywho, it's going to be a great couple of days. Let's kind of change the subject here and go into something a little bit more positive, I suppose. My son and I will be announcing the 2023 class of our Hall of Fame on Thursday, along with everyone else at our watch-along event. And it's going to be a pretty cool show and an event and whatnot. So stick around for that, and I will be with you guys. And I am going to end this a little early, folks, because we have to get ready for tomorrow morning for our good friend Noah to be here or to join us. So everyone, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, may all your dreams come true. I'm the FRL icon, Sean Joseph Stevens, saying may all your dreams come true. Peace.